Swamiji? Swamiji, ready? Swamiji, in yesterday's class, the 5 p.m. class,
yeah.
Swamiji said that really there's nothing that needs to be removed
in order to
recognize the self, to know the self. Nothing needs to be removed. And then we came up afterwards and had just a brief satsang where Swamiji also stated this is one of the most difficult things for people to understand. And so it would be wonderful if Swamiji could kind of sit in that vision first and then to explain why that is difficult to understand.
The human, it's a human problem. As a human being, I'm a seeker. I'm a seeker not by choice. And I am self-judging. And I don't have an accidental self-accepting judgment. Even accidental is not possible. And therefore, the judgment is universal. All is not well with me. I have to be different. And the whole humanity is committed to this process of becoming. And for a number of years, you keep on becoming, gathering, varieties of things. And afterwards, after retirement, then you want to become free from all of that. And therefore you begin distributing, selling. So this is like, gathering and then opening a garage sale. And so you gather all kinds of junk, and then afterwards you open a garage sale so that you can get. Whole life is becoming. Now to that fellow, I come and tell, there is a spiritual answer for this. Lot of people come and tell. Based upon the vision of Vedanta, whoever talks about the solution being oneself for this becoming is talking only from Vedanta. No other source. That means you are the solution. That is Vedanta. Whoever says, in whichever language it is said, you are the solution, what you want to be is yourself. That's Vedanta. And now there are a number of people, even from India, who talk about this. But little they know, what they offer is also another becoming process. It's also becoming. You do this, you will become like this. You will achieve bliss. You will experience bliss. You will gain enlightenment. Enlightenment is a big hook. So enlightenment becomes a goal. You work to towards enlightenment. Work towards bliss. Work towards Brahman experience. Work towards realization, self-realization, God realization. Endless. Now, the truth of Vedanta is whatever you experience implying subject and object is non-dual Brahman. Is non-dual Brahman. So it doesn't posit any condition here. Under this condition, this will happen. It's not an event that is going to happen. There is no such thing as enlightenment also. Before understanding what is involved in this, you use the word enlightenment. I am working for enlightenment. One fellow went about asking questions. Even this boxer, heavyweight champion, what enlightenment means to you? A boxer. What I say is this. Why pass it? Why do you say there is such a thing as an enlightenment? That is setting up yourself. It's a setup. And that gentleman came to me and he didn't understand what I said. And he wrote, he wrote something. So even to say that there is enlightenment is setting up yourself. You have to understand what is the nature of truth. That can be a good question. I am alienated from everything else. That everything else is overwhelmingly big. And what I am is overpowered. I'm insignificant. Even just the immediate known world is enough to make me feel small. And then you go to the internet and then see how vast is this Milky Way. Then the earth disappears. Useful. Internet is useful in this sense. The earth disappears. The only beauty in that is, and you see the earth disappearing. In comparative study, you see the earth disappearing. You're conscious of it. So question should be, what is the truth? As long as this subject-object is true, I am booked forever. If it is not true, I need to know. That's freedom. If it is not true, then there is no alienation. I am not alienated. I look at the subject and object within the vision of the whole, and the whole is me, and that includes subject-object division. Subject-object means it's final. Nobody can talk against what I said. Object includes all imagined objects, promised objects, everything. Believed objects, even worlds, etc. All are included. And the subject and object. So the approach should be, what is this? That I am small and insignificant is true. As I experience now, this is the experience. If the content of this experience is true, I have no solution to the problem. I need to be an existentialist. Just making hay when the sun shines. Look for the buttered side of the slice. That's all. That's what you have to do. Because there is no solution. If the subject object happened to be the same truth, that means so I am the subject, alienated by the object. Now if I am the subject, and that includes all that I am, includes the subject and as well as the object, as it happens in dream, I am the subject, I am the object in the dream. Or neither I am subject or object, the transcendental truth is not alienating or removing anything. So it accommodates the subject and object. So there is nothing to negate, there is nothing to eliminate. And that is why the self is called Purnaha. Sarvam Purayati. It fills up everything. Purnatvat. Being whole. And the full the difficulty is they want enlightenment. They create a goal, and distancing themselves. And they are in familiar grounds, you know. It's again samsara. So
how do you go from the subjective recognition of the kind of the mityatva or the apparent nature of your subjective experience, including any type of vritti or perception or imagination or dream, that's a subjective experience that you can dismiss and recognize that consciousness is the self and the truth of that vritti, of that thought modification, whatever it may be. What is the prakriya, or how does Swamiji transform that subjective experience into the recognition of the objective reality as mithya or apparent?
See, the any situation, any experience, there is the invariable presence. This is a very important method of approaching this subject matter. The invariable presence. And that means there is such a thing as variable. Every experience is variable. The previous moment it was not, now it is there, and it is variable. So any subject-object situation is variable. Even a state of experience is variable, like a dream or waking, or even sleep. It goes away. And dream is there, and then dream goes away, sleep is there. All these are variable. These are the experiences we have. The light that is thrown upon these variable experiences by the teaching, by the pramana, is these variables require an invariable presence. And that invariable presence has got to be you, because you are present all the time. In all forms of experience, you are present. What is that I? What is that you? By your own statement, it is not any one variable experience, because you persist. And variable experiences, being what they are, they go away, they come. And you are there all the time. You slept, you dreamt. And you are awake, you see this, now you see that, I hear this, I. And you is I. And that seems to light up both the seer and the seen together. So, and therefore, this is called Anvaya Vatireka method, Anvaya Vatireka Abhyam. One becomes Satyam, the other becomes Mithya. This is where the word satyam plays a very important role. We use the word real as an adjective, but the truth is that is the only substantive. Only substantive. and everything else is a kind of adjective. Like the potness is an adjective to clay. It's not an intrinsic intrinsic nature of clay. If that is so, wherever there is clay, it'll have potness. It doesn't have. Nor it is outside the clay that you see. This is called mithya. And therefore, the subject is to be dealt with in the form of an inquiry into what is satyam. There is only one satyam. And therefore, mithya need not be negated. I have seen people saying that, Swamiji, how to remove the mithya? What doesn't require to be removed is mithya. How to remove mithya? Hunger is mithya. How to remove hunger? You take food. But that means mithya is removed. Yeah, mithya is removed and mithya has come also. Mithya is not removed, mithya has come. Food doesn't remove the mithya. Both reveal satyam. Both are mithya. Therefore, a description of satyam is inevitable. And that satyam is consciousness, we have to prove. That is why we call it Satchit Ananta, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. And this, with the, what we call mithya, the same Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma is Ishvara, you know. And so that also has to be understood properly. Otherwise, different questions will come. The orientation is set up by words, you know, the pursuit is set up by words. We love to have some words. Even moksha is a word. And it sets you up. Mucha dhatu. Bandha nivrittav. The root meaning is in the pursuit of, in the sense of bandha nivritti, removal of bondage. Then afterwards we have to say the bondage is notional. But starting point is moksha is a purushartha. Because that depicts the lot of a human being, the lot, unacceptability. And therefore freedom from unacceptability.
So, from Swamiji, there has to, in this process of understanding, be a recognition of the nature of the self as whole and complete, so that there can really be a freedom from the sukha dukkha, a pleasurable vritti or a painful vritti, painful thought modification. In order to be free of those and to not be dragged around, away from the dukkha and toward the sukha, there has to be a recognition of something, a fullness that is greater than that.
That sustains both.
That sustains both. So how
that's
is that, Swamiji?
It's a whole thing. So, in fact, for argument, if there is dukkha, see, dukkha is sustained by what? What is the truth of dukkha? So
the same anand. The same anand is the truth of
dukkha. Yeah, yeah. What is the truth of pain, or what is the truth of sorrow, let us take? Sadness. So if somebody says, I am sad, this sadness is experience. And every experience is pratyaya, is a pratyaya, a cognition. And every cognition is consciousness. And in sukha also is consciousness. So, sukha experience is sustained by the same vastu, same consciousness, as even dukkha. Dukkha vritti. The vritti must have causes. All the causes are sustained by the same consciousness. The unconscious also is sustained by the same consciousness. Ego also is the side of the ego. Is also sustained by the same consciousness. And therefore, the pendulum movement from sukha-dukkha, sukha to dukkha, to again to sukha, this movement, is the experience of a becoming person. And that's that experience, each experience is free from experience. And it allows all these experiences to come. That's a vision, you know, that's understanding. And therefore, there is no necessity for a judgment. This is dukkha, finally speaking, except physical pain. Any other pain and all that is judgment, you know. Judgment and ideal. How I should be, what I should be, this should not happen to me, why me? All judgment.
What I was leading toward to Swamiji is the very swarupa, the very nature of the self is ananda. But that ananda is something that is changeless. And so sukha and dukkha actually have for their being the fullness, the ananda, the purnatvam of the self. And that can be differentiated from either in all states. So its abiding is the self of all states. of experience.
Ananda is a word we use for revealing the Swarupa, the truth of the Self. And the same word is used for my experienced happiness also. And because Ananda is a lakshana for the Atma, in Ananda, the subject-object get fused. When you experience Ananda because of something, there is an object, there is the experiencer, the subject. Both get fused. When I say fused, it means fusion, okay? There is a fusion. There is no alienation. That's the truth. The absence of alienation is the truth of Atma. There is no alienation, there is nothing that alienates you. Dumb as one is, one has to look for an experience wherein you don't have this alienation. So only experience you have to go. There is no other thing available. Therefore you are set up. So you will go for an experience wherein both of them coalesce. You and the stars. So you say that. That's the time when you become one with the stars. And the same stars, if you know little astrology, can estrange you. Sometimes not knowing astrology is good. You can enjoy the stars. And so, this is what I say, at-one-ment, the oneness. And it may be just a flower or anything. So which you enjoy. It's Ananda. Ananda is nothing but subject-object fusion. Experienced Ananda. And the knowledge is there is no possibility of alienation. Both the subject and object are the same vastu. No possibility. Nothing can alienate you. Because there is no object as such existing different from you, which you have got to manipulate to your satisfaction. That's what we do. We try to manipulate people. We try to manipulate situations. So put them all in proper alignment so that you can be happy. And they're all dynamic, move away. The whole creation is moving away. Everything is moving away. There is nothing constant, neither your mind nor what you experience, the world. It's not the same. So we are all there. in a moving restaurant sitting. So it gives a semblance of consistency and constancy. And then a revolving restaurant. The same fellow is sitting there. And therefore you think that it's consistent, and therefore you think that you are at the same place. Then yonder, if you look, you find what? Previously I saw a hill, now I see ocean. How? What happened to the hill? A revolving restaurant. So you have morning, you have evening. It's all revolving restaurant. All these are included in the subject object. And therefore, it's so important to understand the Advaita, the non-dual. When you say it means the subject object being mithya.
But the mithya doesn't contribute or take away from the self-evident nature of the Atma.
Now, that is the thing.
And so the wholeness or the fullness or the very swarupa, the very nature of the Atma is ever present. We don't require
always,
a sukha or dukkha vritti.
In fact, it is this mithya is revealing satya. You don't need to have another vritti to recognize satya.
You don't need a vritti to recognize the satyam jnanam anantam.
Yeah. Satyam is understood, and then anantam becomes very natural. So there is only one satyam. So that's why the subject object must be understood as satyam.
But Swamiji, when you say that the self is self-evident, you know, self-luminous, aparoksha, the nature of the self is full and complete as is. Nothing can cover it. No vritti can cover its nature.
Nothing can cover it.
And so no vritti, a sukha vritti or a dukkha vritti, in any way disguises or covers in any way nature of the self.
There's no cover.
And
there's
so jnani is not dependent then on a sukha or dukkha vritti.
It's covered. It's no cover. So it's the same thing. In fact, there's an example given. Like a space, you want to clothe the space. And the suprakasha atma can never have a cover. In fact, one of the great wonders is that it is not recognized by people. So that's one of those wonders, you know. So many wonders, this is one of them. One says that I have to realize, another fellow says I have realized. That is another wonder. The I have realized is the greater wonder. All right. Okay, your food will be ready now. Then, in fact, it has been ready.
Okay. Thank you, Swamiji.
Thank you, Swamiji.
Wonderful. Oh.